Good morning, church. Good morning. Oh, that was better than I expected. I'm glad you are all awake this morning. It is such a gift and a joy to be here. Father Jay and I go way back. He sponsored me for ordination, and I spent my entire formation process part of the congregation that he last led in Boston. And after that, they called me to serve there as a priest associate. I'm so happy for him and his family, and so happy for all of you. I think you made a very wise decision. and I'm so excited to see what the Spirit will unfold with you and with Father Jay. Beloved, we have arrived at Trinity Sunday, and you may not be aware, but there is a long history of and tradition of preachers finding a way to avoid talking about the Trinity on Trinity Sunday. And I have a sneaking suspicion that is why this is the weekend that Father Jay invited me to preach. So that he would be relieved of the task of delving into the mystery of the Trinity with a 10-minute homily. And I must confess, I was very tempted to avoid the Trinity altogether. But instead, I will be reflecting upon the Trinity, but through the lens of the role of evangelism and memory. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus tells the disciples to go out and make disciples of all nations. And the very last instruction he gives them is to remember. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Remember. Memory. It seems like such a flimsy thing to hold on to. We've all had experiences where our memory has failed us. Instances when our memory has been less than reliable. And when reflecting upon all the tools that we need to live out the gospel in fullness, memory doesn't seem to be at the top of the list. Faith? Yes. Prayer? Certainly. Action? Of course. But memory? What can be done with something as intangible as memory? What role does memory play in our efforts to fully live out the gospel? It would seem not much at all, and yet the very last thing Jesus tells the disciples to do is to remember. Memory does not lie on the periphery of our faith. Rather, it sits right at the center. We are called to remember what the world wants us all to forget. In the midst of a world that throws so many hurdles and distractions our way, we are called to remember who God is, even when God's face seems hidden. We are called to remember who we are, even though the world will try over and over again to place its own identity upon us. We are called to remember our purpose, which goes far beyond productivity and capitalism's obsession with dollars and cents. We are called to remember. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, why does Jesus feel the need to remind the disciples of this? Because it is so easy to forget. We live in a world that makes it so easy to forget that God is with us. Our current world, with all its pomp and circumstance and distractions, has perfected the craft of making us forgetful. We start off with the best intentions, but before you know it, we forget. We forget who we are. We forget whose we are. We forget where we've come from. We get confused along the way and forget where we're going. We get overwhelmed by all the tests and trials of life, and we forget that God is with us. We forget that God is with us and given to fear. We forget that God is with us and go into survival mode and adopt a scarcity mentality. We forget that God is with us and fall into the trap of division and tribalism. We forget that God is with us and give into apathy and inaction. We forget. But you really can't blame us. With all the problems besieging us today, the attacks on our democracy, the attacks on community, the attacks on empathy, which is an attack on humanity itself, with every distressing news headline day after day after day, with every new military conflict erupting somewhere in the world on what seems to be a daily basis, it is almost impossible not to forget. When the global economy never ceases to find yet another way to grind the faces of the poor, it's almost impossible not to stop and wonder from time to time, where in the world is God? It is almost impossible not to feel sometimes that we have been forsaken and forgotten and left as orphans in this world. And that is when we most need to remember. When we're on the verge of running out of strength and faith and hope, living in a world like ours, that is when we most need to hear the voice of Jesus say within us, remember. Remember, I am with you in the breaking of the bread. Remember, I am with you when as little as two or three are gathered in my name. Remember, I am with you in whatever you do for the least of these, the poor, the widow, the orphan, the stranger. Remember, I am with you when you struggle for justice and peace. Remember, I am to be found in the power of community, and the forces of empire will never have the final say. Let the church say amen. Amen. Remember, I am with you when you are lonely, when you are uncertain, when you are afraid, when the world seems like an endless hellscape with one devastating war after another. Remember that I have told you that in this world you will find trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Remember my love poured out for you and for all, and take that love and make disciples of all nations in that love. That, beloved, is where we are invited to move from memory into evangelism. And if we are completely honest, we have an evangelism problem in the church. And it's a big problem. Because far too often, the churches that are the best at evangelism are actually the worst at being faithful to the gospel. And I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. The churches that don't seem to have a problem with Christian nationalism. Churches that don't seem to have any problems whatsoever with a version of Christianity that seeks to dominate and control and forces itself upon others. The churches that don't seem to be bothered by racism and actually secretly long for the days when their seminaries and Bible colleges could get away with being segregated. The churches who would, if they could, stuff every single queer and trans person on the planet right back into the closet. Far too often, the churches that want absolutely nothing to do with the gospel of inclusion and liberation, otherwise known as just the gospel, they are the ones out there telling their story far and wide. And meanwhile, the churches that are doing their best to live out the gospel, giving food to the hungry and clothes to the naked, comforting the sick, visiting the imprisoned, looking after the widow and the orphan and the foreigner, doing their best to follow the teachings of Jesus, we are the ones who do evangelism the least because we have been harmed by the evangelism done by the churches previously mentioned. But that is a huge mistake. Because we have so clearly been instructed by Jesus to go out, not to be so impressed by our church buildings that we never leave them, but to go out into the world and make disciples. The antidote to evangelism done wrong is not ceasing to do evangelism altogether. The antidote to evangelism done wrong is evangelism done right. And evangelism done right has love at its foundation, has love at its center, not the will to coerce or control, but love. Love that seeks to protect the most vulnerable among us instead of exploiting them. Love that welcomes the stranger, that respects the dignity and humanity of every immigrant, whether they are documented or not. Love that fights for access to affordable housing for all, instead of being content with a version of progress that leaves the poor dispossessed. Love that does not require people to look a certain way in order to be accepted into the family of God. This is the kind of evangelism the world needs. And I've got good news for you, church. This is exactly the kind of evangelism we are 100% capable of doing. Let the church say amen. The world is desperately in need of a gospel of compassion, not control. A gospel that compels us to work to build a better world for God's people in this life, instead of giving into apathy and just waiting for the next. The world is desperately in need of a gospel that is incompatible with nationalism, incompatible with violence and domination, incompatible with racism, misogyny, and homophobia. The world is desperately in need of a gospel that is incompatible with capitalism's insatiable desire for more and more profit, regardless of the human cost. And who will bring this gospel to the world, if not us? Beloved, who will bring this gospel to the world, if not us? And if right now you're thinking in your minds, who can we find to do it for us in our place? Who can we hire? Who can we pay? Because we really don't want to do it. I'm hearing your thoughts this morning. For all of you who are thinking this, I say to you again, as I close, simply what Jesus has already said to us all, and that is, remember. Hear the voice of Jesus say, remember my love poured out for you and for all, and take that love and make disciples of all nations of that love. Go out into every corner of this battered, bruised, and broken world. And wherever there is suffering, wherever there is injustice, wherever there is fear and distress, wherever there is loneliness, wherever there is violence and oppression, go out and bring this gospel of love, this gospel of peace, of community, of liberation. Go out and bring this gospel of love and make disciples in the name of the one, the God who is love, the love who created us, the love who redeems us, and the love that sustains us now and always. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen.